Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining this workshop. Today I'm going to talk. Let's talk about now tomato. Okay. So as you can see, I'm going to talk about practical applications of CRISPR-2. So first half of my slides is going to be about what is happening in tomato production system in the United States, and then what issues we have in real production system. And then the second half will be about what we researchers are doing to make a positive impact on them. So what we are doing to solve their problems. So I'm not going to talk about Tomato 101 in this slide talk. It has only 15 minutes to me. So let's focus on the two different tomato market types. So especially in the United States, if you look at tomatoes, you can have two different distinguishable fruit types. The first one is processing tomatoes here. They look like this, and then we use those tomatoes to make a ketchup, paste, or any type of processed tomato products. And the California is the main producer of such tomatoes. And the second type of tomato is fresh market tomatoes. So as you can see here in this right panel, they are big and they're round fruited. So Florida, the state of Florida, is the major producer of fresh market tomatoes. And then typically, approximately 50%, half of the production is from the state of Florida right now, domestically. And then especially Florida winter season is favorable to grow tomatoes, similar to like this Nevada, a little bit cooler actually. So the any winter season tomatoes from November through January, February, even early June, if we see the domestically grown tomato, fresh market tomatoes, they are from Florida. So we call it fresh market tomatoes, and often we call them the fresh tomatoes as well. So you can find them in the market as a product, or you can taste them like a sliced form in your burger or dishes in the restaurant. That's fresh market tomatoes. And then I'm focusing on that tomato because that's one of my research materials. So how we grow tomatoes in United States, especially southeastern U.S., we grow them mostly in the open field. We just cannot afford buildings, and then the weather is too hot. So we grow them in the open field, and then we make raised bed here. So, and then we cover them with a plastic mulch, and then we transplant seedlings. And then while they are growing, tomato seedlings are growing, we put the stakes here next to each plant. We tie them. And then we do tying three to five times in a single season. This is a typical horticultural practice of growing fresh market tomatoes in the United States right now. And then once they are ready, once they are mature, if we decide to, okay, let's harvest our fruit, we hire tomato pickers here. So as you can see, this is an example of small farm, and then we can see two groups of tomato pickers here. And then while they are passing by each plant, they collect fruit by hand. So almost 100% fresh market tomatoes in the United States, especially in the open field, they are harvested by hand. So once they harvest it, they deliver the fruit to the larger container, and then they fill out this container and they ship this one to a packing factory. And then at the factory, they clean, they pack, and they distribute those tomatoes across the nations. And then after that, we absolutely collect stakes, and then we can reuse them next season. So this is a small farm, as I said, but you can imagine how many workers we need to harvest this one time the tomato picking. So now you can imagine if you have thousands of acres to just the tomatoes, you can easily find the thousands of acres of tomato especially in South Florida. They're big mega farm, but they follow the same practice. So that they harvest them manually, and they put stakes and ties their entire plants. Imagine how many plants if we have 1,000 acres, right? So this is our current production system, and we have an issue. Number one issue currently as of today is labor, because the labor cost is too high, and then the cost is increasing and never stop the hierarchy like that. And then for tomato, the total production cost is the labor cost is about 50%, half of the total production cost. And the majority of the labor cost, labor fee is because of hand harvesting. So harvesting by hand is a big problem here. And we also have recent trends in uncertainty about hiring trained tomato pickers, because most of our pickers are from Mexico. And even Mexican farms, they have problem with finding good tomato, experienced tomato pickers, because population demography is changing. And then these young generations, they don't tend to work in the field or outside. They try not to work outside. So, and also we also have international issues like visa. So this is our number one issue, and it is estimated about 33,000 workers are needed to pick our fruits in Florida yearly. So our industry is pursuing to move to mechanical harvest of our fresh market tomatoes. So the scientists at the University of Florida, especially, we are working on developing machine harvestable fresh market tomatoes. So we want something like this. This is a photo from California Tomato Growers Association. And this is how they harvest processing tomatoes. So they maneuver big tomato harvester, one harvester, and then they collect fruits. They dump the fruits into the crate. We want similar system like this, but remember what I shared, how we cultivate in the open field. And then we have to first remove stakes and ties. With the stakes and ties in the field, it will be almost impossible for us to maneuver the machines, right? And we also have other issues. The first one is that our plants are too big, and then we have heavy fruit issues. We can grow without stakes and ties. We can do that, but if we do, it looks like this. Simply speaking, our plants are not optimized or not favorable to be machine harvestable. And we also have the technology. We have to consider marketable fruit quality. First, we have to acknowledge USDA market standards, and then we have to acknowledge also the consumers' fruit quality demand. So to be marketable fresh tomatoes, it is best if we have the fruits at least 5.72 centimeters in size. What happens if we have smaller fruit than that size? Growers often find difficulty to sell their fruits. Brokers will not buy them, so they cannot make profit. So that's 5.72 centimeters is per USDA, that's medium fruit size. So we have small, medium, large, and extra large. So we want to have bigger fruit, so at least that size. And we also have to consider, we have to have our fruits are perfect. I put it here like Freud's skin. So we want our fruit no scratch, no crack, no disease, and good-looking skin color. You go to market, if you see cracked tomato or scratched tomatoes, will you buy that? No, right? And if you go to dinings, like a restaurant, and then if you find a kind of, defective tomato slices in your dishes, will you eat? Probably not, right? So we have to consider multiple factors while we are pursuing machine harvest, the mechanical harvesting of fresh tomatoes. So, consider our situation and then growers' demand and consumers' demand. We think we have two major focuses on our research. The first one is the compact growth and good fruit size. So as I said, our plants are big. When they mature, mostly like they're sometimes taller than me. So we want to have our plants a little bit smaller, just shorter. But we don't want to sacrifice fruit size, because growers will not use our plants, right? And second one is that we want to have a solution to stamp-free removal of our fruits. Again, that topic, the second topic, is to keep our fruit, good fruit quality, skin quality. So the first, compact growth without compromising fruit size topic. We know there are a couple of famous genes that can reduce plant architecture, get smaller, right? So one of them is the D gene, dwarf gene. And the microtome is, I believe this is one good example of a tomato plant with that gene. So actually the microtome is developed by Dr. John Scott, my predecessor at in our university. And he developed this line for fun, like home garden. But because of that D gene, the plants looks like this, you know, small pot can be fitted in, small pot. But the fruit size is like less than 2 centimeters mostly. So for sure, it's clear to us we cannot use D gene. And this is one example, and also other genes, famous other out there genes out there, we can use them because we often find whenever we include such genes, we have seen that our fruit size are decreased. So we absolutely need new genes. So since I joined 2016 Florida, and since that time, I'm working on the finding new genes which can change tomato architecture. So this is an example of our very fresh research output this summer season. We have identified several candidate genes, and then what we have done is we did QTL analysis and we did vine mapping to narrow down our target interval. And we use CRISPR-Cas9 tool to knock out a gene on a locus. So what we have observed is that if we knock out the gene, our one of candidate gene in this wild type, fresh marketable large fruited tomato plant, we found that CRISPR-induced mutant shows smaller tomato architecture. So right now we are actively working on the further studies on that the functional characterization and advancing our lines. And the second topic, stem-free removal of fruits. What we can see is that most of the fresh market tomatoes has a jointed pedicel. So you may have attended Harry's this morning's keynote session. He mentioned that a bit. So because of this joint, what happened is that if you collect this tomato fruit, you easily break this joint, you're going to have fruit with the stem part attached, and this stem punctures other tomato skin. So that's not good because this tomato is already, we cannot sell that, it's unmarketable. So what we want is that we want to have jointless pedicel, so no joint here. So with a single like picking, we want to break this part, have a clean tomato without stem parts attached. So the famous J2 gene, breeders at genetics, we know that gene exists. And then as he mentioned earlier this morning, the gene J2 has been heavily deployed in a processing tomato breeding lines. But what we have found in fresh market breeding genetics field, whenever we add J2 gene to this good-looking, fresh, marketable tomato, we found these bad fruit qualities. It's not clear linkage drag pleiotropy, but thanks to Cold Spring Harbor researchers in 2017, they published a CRISPR construct that can knock out a single gene associated with matchbox protein. So if we knock out that gene, the tomato makes the joint. So we get a jointless pedicel. So this is an example photo of large fruited, fresh marketable tomato breeding lines with CRISPR-induced jointless pedicel. So right now we are preparing a large size field trials that are leading right now. So to see whether CRISPR-induced such line show bad fruit quality or not, not showing anymore, to have an answer to that question. So far I talked about fresh market tomatoes, and then what issues we have. We are pursuing mechanical harvesting, and we are working mainly on two targets, compact cross and jointly spaced. And CRISPR tool has been our core research tools to accelerate our genetics and breeding program. So I want to thank my lab members, four of these lab members. Without them, I cannot do my research. I thank their solid science. And Sam Hutton, new tomato breeder, mycorrhizal colleague and Hutton lab members. And my advisor mentors, Harry Klee and John Scott, I thank their inputs. And this work is mainly supported by Hughes, by the Florida Tomato Committee. And I thank their huge support to our research. Thank you.
So I'm just curious about Jonas too. Is it the same gene as Jonas one map?
No, it's different.
Is it both a mass spectrum, right?
I'm sorry.
Both Jonas one and Jonas two are mass spectrum. Right?
I believe so. Yes. But it's different. So probably my answer can be J1 is not famous, and I don't know anybody had tried to knock out that gene. And then in this real breeding program, J2 is famous. I believe that's fruit size and fruit quality mainly. So breeders like to use J2. They want to keep that gene. So J1 is kind of, to me, is kind of old already. My impression from their side input. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Seung-hae Lee, Dr. Seung-hae Lee from University of Florida. He is going to give us some comments on how to use CRISPR-Cas9 for the strawberry fruits.
Okay, thank you.